You're listening to DraftKings Network.
Thank you for listening to the Cooligans podcast. In the first segment, we talk about Schweinsteiger. He's coming to the MLS. What team is he going to? Does he still have gas in the tank? We'll figure it out. We also talk about Atlanta versus Chicago. What is the scariest part? It's probably the striker staring right into your soul. And we talk about Colorado and Minnesota. Can Minnesota play soccer at all at this level? We're going to find out.
In segment number two, we also talk about Portland against Houston. It's a hot game. Adi is not shooting without embarrassing a keeper. He refuses to. Also, the nationally televised game, Seattle against the Red Bulls. Seattle getting into some Tifo shade from Portland. Also, is Breck Shea the trillest dude alive?
We'll find out about that and more on this episode of the Cooligans!
Hey guys, it's Juan Agudelo, New England Revolution's forward and U.S. Men's National Team forward, and you're listening to the Cooligans.
Yeah, baby!
What is up? Gentlemen and ladies.
And ladies and everyone else who is listening.
Okay.
Well, you know, there's maybe someone is deciding, you know.
Okay, someone might be unsure or in the middle of a transition.
Sure. And if you're a soccer fan, whatever, we're the place for you.
You know, it's interesting. Even last week, the show got very political very quickly.
Did it?
Just in his pleasantries.
Well, I don't remember that.
Because we started talking about, it became political and about
people
with hoods and without hoods.
It's funny. It was funny. That's all that matters.
It's so funny that, but like where we can't even have a pleasant introduction without getting super serious very quickly.
Well, that's what we do. We try to make the serious funny and we try to make the funny serious. Sorry about that.
All right.
Getting a phone call from Virginia or Washington.
Welcome to the show, everybody.
Yeah,
welcome,
baby,
to the Cooligans. We are your favorite stand-up comedian to host a soccer podcast.
That's it. We're the only ones.
There's no other.
No, we're the most famous. We're the most famous comedians that do a soccer podcast about the entire league.
Okay,
based in Brooklyn. Hold on a second.
No one can compete with that right there.
So, I mean, you know, that list, we're at the top. Don't ask who else is on the list.
This is exciting. I'm excited about last. I feel like a lot of people enjoyed last week's episode. We got a lot of
positive feedback over last
fun
week's episode.
Feedback, yeah.
We always get good feedback, but yeah, last week.
No,
had
we
a nice,
have actually.
Nice
we've
buzz.
Never gotten good feedback.
This we've never gotten feedback at all. This is the first time anyone's listened.
Most of the time we have I don't know how this works, but we get negative downloads.
Actually,
I don't even know.
Seems like people download it and then delete it twice, which is very difficult to do.
So, our numbers are not looking good.
No. The NSA is the only one listening. Hello, boys and girls.
And girls and whatever.
Oh, man. Every time.
But thank you for listening, everybody. Yeah, we did get a lot of love from people from... We got Sounders fans giving us love. We got Atlanta United fans giving us love.
Yeah.
And it's cool to... Obviously, we're in New York, but it's cool to get a little love from places that are not New York City.
Absolutely. And you know what? We love the entire league. So it's nice to hear from all of those fans.
That's right. We love the single entity system and we don't want it to change.
Yeah, that's right. Contradicting everything we've ever talked about on this podcast.
No, you know, it's interesting because the ProRel, an Instagram account, one of the ProRel ones, mentioned what do you think would need to change? They just put out a question like, what do you think would need to change for people to get on, you know, for the popularity of the promotion relegation movement to build?
Yeah.
And I responded. I gave an answer and the main thing I...
What was your answer? Okay, cool.
Yeah, the main thing I said was... Yeah, no, what do you mean? Oh,
yeah, I thought you were just going to be like... And, you know, and I just like Instagram. And then you stop.
Instagram is cool. Yeah. And I love that I almost finished seventh grade. Yeah.
Christian, you all right there, buddy? Get hit in the head?
No, I basically said that I think the movement in itself... should become more about the benefits of the promotion relegation because the common fan doesn't really
why should the common fan care about
that's a good point,
because it doesn't really affect the, you know, they don't know that it affects the quality of the product that they're actually seeing, especially with the improvement of the MLS over the last few years, and
right,
and especially because of obviously the foreign players that are coming in and the high quality players that are coming.
Right. And then, you know, the counter argument to that is, well, you know, they're coming there. Look at how great these players are. And they were built within a system that has promotional relegation. So I get the point of both sides, but I think that's a great point. No one ever talks about that. It's like, talk more about the benefits.
Exactly.
Like just we want it right now.
Because if it's sold on the basis of, look, promotional relegation makes the quality of soccer across the entire country better, our U.S. team will be better, be able to compete against those tough teams. If it became a question of almost like patriotism, that's how I think you get the common fan on board, as opposed to just being like, Sunil Gulati and Garber, these criminals that deserve to be in prison. Like, like, well, no, that doesn't really make sense. They're business people. Yeah. Of course they want money.
Yeah.
The system was put in place for profit.
To make sure but they did also put it in place to make sure that the league lasted this time.
Correct.
And it's hard to sort of turn around and be like, well, now change it. And
yeah.
Give everyone all this risk. But at the same time, if they just came out and said, promotional relegation, this will make Americans great again.
Yeah.
Right,
I would get on board with. I would wear that red hat.
Yeah, MUSMNT,
AGA. Yeah, Musuntamintaga.
Musmintaga. Musmintaga.
It almost seems like someone misspelled Muslim.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah. Which perfect for a red hat. Mispronounce it, misspelled it, whatever.
That is a great
point. I think more people would be on board if they talked more about the positivity of it, you know?
Yeah, and anybody listening, let us know your thoughts on this, because for the most part, you know, we speak to a lot of people from, you know, supporters groups from all over the country.
Right.
And
supporters groups of clubs all over the world.
And for the most part, I would say supporters groups don't really discuss this amongst themselves. I mean, even, you know, we go to NYCFC games. This isn't a conversation that comes up very often. Like, how much do fans of MLS, season ticket holders, want promotion relegation? Is it a thing where even the season ticket holders are also thinking like, well, I wouldn't want my team to get relegated? Or like,
right.
The question is the people that are resisting promotion relegation not just the people at the top of MLS? It might be, you know, some fans of MLS themselves.
And let me play some devil's advocate. Fans of other leagues.
Devil, get away from me.
I'm here to be an advocate. Fans of teams in other leagues, primarily NASL league fans, they seem to have this chip on their shoulder about MLS being a single entity. But there's no promotion or relegation in other leagues either. You know, so it's not like it exists there, just not in the top. You know what I mean? So, so until that happens.
Yeah. Some of the theories or some of the suggestions that people put out. And you know, I did my little research before I even like commented, because I didn't want to get like hammered.
Right. You didn't want to jump in that fake news bin. You wanted to get in there and be like, exactly. Nah, I brought facts with me, B.
And a lot of people are suggesting that the lower leagues should just do this on their own.
100%. 100%. There's no reason.
Have a, you know, and to some extent, it might force the MLS to be like, well, we can't ignore them because now there's four divisions with that are getting support. So these conversations are happening.
Right.
And the ProRel account, I don't know who it was. I don't know the person, but they responded to me and said that this is the movement is building slowly, and it he or she, whoever this was, said that they presumed that this will it takes about 10 years that the pro world movement started about 3 to 4 years ago,
so they think in the
next 7 years is when like it'll really start like
catching steam,
exactly,
or have a lot of like buzz.
And also in Australia, they're fighting with because they have I don't know if it's single entity necessarily, but
no, it is. It is. But in a way, it's their own version of, there is no promotion and relegation over there.
So it seems like that's about to happen. Maybe possibly the next year, because people are either advocating for it, they're protesting, and it seems like they're much closer than they ever were before. So
right.
because something like that happened, it's like the Muslim Spring. Remember?
Arab Spring,
right?
Yeah.
When Muslim Spring, that's I vacation there from time to time.
Yeah, it's very nice. Much nicer than Muslim Summer. It's so much hotter there.
Correct.
Yeah, nice breeze in Muslim Spring.
I'm always thirsty.
Yeah. Just a little too much.
Yeah. But because of this Arab Spring promotion relegation might start happening if other countries
right.
start doing it.
And the funny thing is, not the funny thing is, but, in Australia, the supporters get things moving. They'll sure. protest, when Western Sydney Wanderers were labeled as like a gang or violent.
Yeah.
They went out and protested and said, no, one guy did something messed up. That's not all of us.
Yeah.
And he's out of the group, blah, blah, blah. You can't ban all of us from the game. And they got this changes put in place. And the protesting in that sense, it's dollars, right? You vote with your dollars, right?
Correct,
in other words, like the club can't do anything without its fans. So, mm-hmm. If you're willing to, walk out, if you're willing to protest, if you're willing to do those things, like Liverpool fans famously did, I believe it was last year or the year before that.
Last year,
so that there wouldn't be a ticket increase. That is the power of, there's no other sport where that would happen. You couldn't do that in American football. You couldn't do that in basketball. You would never be able to coordinate everyone to leave a Knicks game. You know what I mean?
Yeah, there is a fear. It's almost like dictators, right? Dictators want to stay in power.
Yeah.
And they don't want a democracy because then the people can kind of, they can revolt. They can right. organize. This is why you oppress communication, internet. You yeah. don't let them do things so that they can't yeah. organize.
And you thought you were listening to a soccer podcast.
but the parallels are weird. They're very creepy. And the real issue is that no one's asking the NBA to do promotion relegation. Nobody's asking NFL to do this. The reason is because the how global a sport soccer is.
Right. And the precedent has been set.
Yes, the globalization to some degree, especially America kind of against maybe this specifically this administration, there's something to that where they don't want to get on board with what the rest of the world is doing.
Right. And also the idea that other leagues are trying to copy this. And, I know that a lot of the promotion relegation guys also feel like, Don Garber and Sunil Gulati are somehow conspiring with the Australian FA to not allow it happen over there, because God forbid that happens there. It's like the chips are starting to fall, you know? And this is communism versus capitalism. It's the same thing.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. But I mean, that was my experience with Pro Rel. And for the most part,
not something we were going to talk about on this podcast on this episode, but I'm glad we did.
But I would say they were incredibly cordial and respectful and even understood my perspective. And they weren't like, what are you in the pocket of Garber?
Yeah. You must be an MLS bot. Yeah.
So, it was good to have that conversation because I never really had it with someone, especially, a pro rel person. So.
Yeah. And I honestly feel like we're not close, but we're on our way to it.
Yeah. But I think that's the future of the game. The game, the quality of the game. You want to see, if you want better soccer, you want promotion relegation. There's no way around that, because even though it sucks that, the big clubs are always at the top and it's difficult for the lower team, but even those, the West Broms, specifically that team, the Bournemouths, those teams that are lower league, Premier League teams are better than pretty much every MLS team.
Yeah, for sure.
So that's there's something to be said about that.
Yeah, for sure. And it's, the whole thing about just like, if there's clubs all over the country, we're going to be able to find some of the best players and get them all to play soccer. To some degree, I mean, I believe in that myth, if there's promotional relegation, well, then everyone's just going to start building clubs. You know what I mean? There's going to be soccer clubs all over the country and everyone's going to get a chance. And it would be great to see like teams that have been here forever. Like, new Manhattan Soccer Club.
Gaziantep.
Yeah. Thank you. Blau Goshwe, I believe it's called. Got to get a new microphone after that one. Brooklyn Italians, these clubs that have been around forever. If they could just start a top team and then
that
work your way up.
That doesn't exist in soccer from a ownership level.
Right.
The dream of of playing, like, yeah, like
winning your way to the top,
winning your way to the top. You know, there's no like, oh, if I buy a team and then we're going to be playing the Cleveland Cavaliers one day, you know, right. Like,
yeah,
that,
yeah,
that,
yeah.
So that is, it's not, it's unheard of in American sports, in American, the ability to hope,
right.
That doesn't even exist, because we all know if you ain't rich, You're not getting in the door.
Yeah, no one's even, to not only be rich, but be the best rich guy, the most prepared rich guy in a market big enough to handle.
Correct.
You know, so there's a lot of pieces, and I feel like we're on our way there. Honestly,
yeah,
I feel like we're on our way there.
Just
like we're on our way to say something funny. You know, I mean, we talked a lot of serious.
We've been saying so many funny things.
Oh, it's almost too funny.
But basically, we've done all the funny in every other episode.
Yeah, this one's the serious one.
Going forward. No more funny.
Yeah, no. You guys have got all the funny you were going to get out of us.
You think this funny? You got all this funny for free, and now you want more?
That's all you want now? You just want funny every chance you get?
How dare you? But no, we have to discuss the week in MLS, because there were...
This was a fun one.
This was a fun one.
For most of us. And, you know, can we just applaud Minnesota getting a point, huh?
Oh, my God. Beautiful.
Go ahead. Clap. I don't want to be the only one. There you go. Huh?
They, yeah, they did. And they played well. I was very, very surprised because, you know, and they lost a player again. They lost, yeah. I think, in the first... didn't they lose a player in the first game against Portland? Or maybe I'm wrong. I might be mistaken. But...
Match was against Red Bulls, and I don't think they lost a player. No, that was Atlanta.
No, the first match against
Portland.
Against Portland. I feel like they lost. They lost by so many goals that I feel like. But
let's hope they did. Actually, with that score line.
But they lost a player, and they were about 20 minutes that they were down to 10 men, and they still secured a draw. So that's
something you talk about moving forward. You know, like, that'll build some momentum,
correct,
and some confidence in this club. Because right now, they ain't got it. And I thought Heath was going to be the first coach to be fired.
Yeah, that would have been quite a story.
No, it turns out it's Real Salt Lake.
Real Salt Lake, Jeff Kassar. I think it's Kassar.
It's probably Kassar.
Yeah. So, but let's start with Atlanta and Chicago, because this was a great game. But we also, let's start with the big news in soccer.
Yeah.
Bastian Schweinsteiger
coming to Chicago one game too late,
doing I think he's on the next feature for with Chance the Rapper.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. So, he shows up wearing a number 3 hat.
This is this was reported for,
he pulls out Chief Keef, he's like, yo, fuck Chance, all that positive shit. I hate being so. We're like, Bastian?
It's like, okay. Why does he have dreads all of a sudden? But no, Bastian Schweinsteiger, this is big news. Obviously, it was reported on maybe a couple months ago that this was a possibility.
Yeah, this has been a rumor for a while.
And the news came out last night about like 10:30 p.m.
Yeah, if
Eastern
you're hearing
time.
This on Wednesday, yeah, Monday night.
Monday night. And so I had never. So I guess the news, even for English time, this is still pretty early in the morning.
This was an odd one.
This is like 5:30 in the morning. That this is really.
This was one of those. It's like the new world of releasing information. You do it like on, you know, you do it on social media.
This is like,
it almost doesn't matter the time.
You release the news of Bastian Schweinsteiger getting acquired by the Chicago Fire, like you release a Beyonce album,
right?
Just like just at 6:48 a.m.
Right.
On a Thursday,
and the press release is only on Tidal. So yeah. you gotta get that another free trial of the Tidal.
It was odd. I had tweeted out from the Cooligans, after the news came out, I was like, yo, we about to text Paul Tenorio. Yo, you up?
Yeah, come on, you up, son?
Because we need
a lot to talk about.
It was odd, and it was just the timing of it. It seemed very strange, because usually with announcements for players, especially big players like this, it's usually a little bit more calculated and prepared and PR this and
yeah, there's like a presentation, or they're like, hey, we're the Chicago Fire having a press conference tomorrow.
About, yes.
Yeah, surprise press conference.
And it was just like, no, they just like slid into the Chicago Tribune's DMs.
Yeah,
like, yo, hey, look, Bastian's just like, hey,
he sends a selfie. Guess who it is?
I'm coming over.
Yeah. You up? I mean, they use the same bit, but whatever.
Yeah, but you up is at 6 in the morning is a little different. It's like, yeah, you better be up.
Yeah, you up? I mean, you got work.
So Bastian Schweinsteiger, obviously, Bayern legend, coming from Manchester United, wasn't getting
Germany's men's national team
legend. He is
United, not so much a legend, but yeah, whatever, United player.
You know, and he got a lot of grief for going to Manchester United because they felt like
it's like the end of your career.
And it's also like a team almost as big as Bayern, bigger than Bayern Munich.
Yeah, it's like, I mean, you go to your childhood club. You know what I mean? Like, what do you...
Sure, but he's always... Bayern is his childhood club.
That's what I'm saying. But, like, you know what I mean? Like, go to a club that, you know, has some meaning to you.
This was seemed
Manchester like... Manchester United was like, I want to keep winning. But I want to win in a different shade of red, you know?
So, obviously, coming to MLS, him playing for Chicago seems a little strange. And
it also seems like more of the same from MLS. It's like, you know, we've been talking about this younger.
Especially with this season, with the drastic change for younger designated players.
Yeah.
And just overall youth. This is why, like, Lampard, they weren't like, let's keep Lampard. They were like, let's go for someone younger and also and just a quality midfield. Not to suggest that Lampard is not, but he was getting injured a lot. Things like
And it also wasn't about just don't bring in a name, bring in someone that can contribute, you know. And can Bastian Schweinsteiger do that? I don't know. I think he's a little up there in age. You know, he barely could run when we last saw him, and he hasn't played in almost 2 years.
Yeah, when it comes to,
I mean, has he saved his knees or has he gotten fat? I don't know. You know,
he doesn't look out of shape.
No,
but he's definitely.
And Ivanovic won't let that happen.
He's not playing. He's not playing much. He just hasn't had much time to play. No. So, I mean the.
What are your thoughts? Do you think is this going to be a positive thing for? Do you think he's going to be able to contribute? Do you think he's going to be a part of?
I think from a PR perspective,
no. On the pitch.
I think he's going to contribute. It's just a matter of what they're lacking. A guy like Bastian Schweinsteiger,
I guess he's more of a winger, right? I mean, he's more of a midfielder, box to box, but on the wing.
I think, he seems like he's going to be like a holding mid. I mean, he doesn't really have the speed that he had in the past. So, to have him and Dax McCarty doesn't seem to make much sense.
And Juninho, I mean, that's a very veteran.
They're all over 30.
Yeah.
It seems like they're just going to get beat offensively.
Yeah, for sure. I could see that.
So that's my biggest concern. I mean, I think.
So you think this was a bad move?
Tactically, yeah. It doesn't seem to make too much
sense. If he would have joined LA Galaxy, it would have made sense. And maybe Chicago Fire needs. I mean, I can't remember the last real DP they had, you know, where it was like a draw. Cuauhtémoc Blanco. You know,
yeah, he was
way back in the day, you know, with the bunny hop. Other than that, I can't. And, you know, they won the league with him, but I can't remember. Did they? I think he was there the first year. I can't remember another, you know, big splashy signing.
Even when it comes to making a splash, this is not the biggest splash you can make. The pool is this literally like you're not even getting wet if you're sitting by the pool.
For sure not. Until I go over there and take my shirt off, then everyone's getting wet because of the belly flop, not because I'm sexy. Unless you like titties. So I think the big issue is, you know, I don't think he can run, and I don't think he's that big of a draw, but he is going to get like that. I mean, if you want to sell tickets, and you made the comment earlier today, that he has a lot of Twitter followers. He has a really big draw.
Yeah, that's what that was the odd thing. We were talking about this on the way here that I was just like, wow, this seems like a strange pickup. I mean, why get him? But then you see he has 3.9 million Twitter followers. It's a pretty heavy influence. I mean, look,
that's not why you sign someone.
I understand that, and that's me being...
Because then you would sign Ocho Cinco, you know what I mean?
That's me being the most cynical.
Yeah.
But look, we being in comedy, look, and we actually deal with this. This is why we when we're telling you guys, like, hey, follow us on YouTube, follow us on Instagram, follow us on Twitter, because people, the higher ups,
100%,
are actually like, oh, we won't book them on this because they don't really have that much of a social media following or presence. Right. So this is a real...
And it's not that they won't hire us because of that. It's easier to hire someone with less talent, but we'll get more people watching because they have a bigger reach.
Correct. So this is a true thing, and the world is sort of moving in this direction. So part of me feels like if Bastian Schweinsteiger had 300 Twitter followers... He will not be playing for the Chicago Fire.
I mean, I know you got all the medals and stuff. You ain't got no followers. You ain't got no, your clout score is terrible. Get your clout up.
Yeah, tweet. You got, you know, you got like that
show some nipple, Bastion, on Instagram. Yeah,
I think, you know, post game matches, after a post game match analysis is like, you know, the coaches are going to each player like, yo, what are you doing? Maybe you should add more selfies to your game so that we can get more.
It's like, you need to come in early for tomorrow's training. Oh, am I something wrong? Yeah, we need to talk about tactics. Oh, why? I played pretty well. Well, I mean, social media. What are you doing online?
Because look, some of these MLS stadiums can't fill up.
No.
This is a real
FC Dallas. Are you guys tweeting? You know, the whole team should tweet out. A game is happening.
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah, when we have stand-up shows, we got to, hey, come.
Everybody, you got to get the other people on the lineup. Could you do me a favor and share
retweet
that,
this. And so it's like, yeah, we got to have a social media push.
Yeah, we got to do like a concerted effort.
But obviously, Bastian Schweinsteiger is a legend.
Was he a legend? That's the question.
I mean, he's a legend in Germany.
Yeah, but does he still have that?
We will find out.
You think no, right?
I think it'll be fine. I think he's going to suffer from the same skepticism that Frank Lampard had to deal with, and he's going to have some rough spells. But from time to time, I think he's gonna bury some goals, and he's going to make the team better, without a doubt. He's going to make the team better.
All right, well, I'm willing to go on record as saying it's going to be an absolute flop, and he's going to make the team worse.
Well, he has a one-year deal, and then it's like a mutual option if they want to go for a second.
This is a vacation for him. I'm telling you, this is going to be terrible.
But at least it's immediate.
He's going to take development time away from a better player.
Okay, I mean, that's your opinion. That's perfectly fair. I think what I'm happy about is that this is happening now and not at the end of the Premier League season.
Right. So
it's just an immediate transfer. Right,
because there is, and you know, for most people, other than the entire Atlanta team, there is an adjustment period to MLS. You know, it's a very different league. It's a very fast and physical league.
Yeah.
And you know, it's called differently. You have to be prepared for that, or at least get that experience. So it is going to take him some time. It is.
Yeah.
So if by the All-Star break he sort of catches on, and the second half of the season is incredible because he's there, then that's a great buy if you're Chicago. I just don't believe that's going to happen.
We'll see. I mean,
I believe this is going to split the team apart. You know, I believe it's going to drive a wedge between the fans and the club itself. I think the manager is going to have issues at home with his wife because of this. I don't know. I'm just seeing how far I could take that.
He's just, his wife just is having an affair with Bastian Schweinsteiger. That's wild.
Yeah. but the coach is also having an affair with Anna Ivanovic. So it's like, well, why don't we just stay where we're doing? I mean, just swap.
Little wife swap.
Yeah. Come on. I mean, why bring the kids into this, you know?
All right. So, Atlanta did play. Games did happen.
Not
just all these affairs.
And, yeah. Yeah. Besides all these obviously true things we're saying, things did happen on the pitch.
Atlanta played against the Chicago Fire, and boy, oh boy, Atlanta again lit up the scoreboard.
I mean, and you know, I mean, they're a traveling highlight reel at this point.
This was tough. Obviously, Atlanta won 4-0, but.
And also, shouts to the fan base. They filled out Bobby Dodd Stadium again.
Yeah, they clearly enjoy soccer.
What were the Atlanta Silverbacks not doing?
Yeah, that is kind of surprising. That, right? Like, it is. It's just so many people. Like, how is
so many? Is 55K?
Is there nothing else to do in Atlanta?
It seems like, from all the music I hear, unless you're, you know.
I mean, the Braves are not really, you know, not really as interesting. They're not playing. They haven't played well the last, like, couple of years.
Hawks?
The Hawks, they can't. I think the expectations are very low.
Right.
Because when you have.
Falcons, we all saw what happened there.
We all saw that. But I think the Falcons still get some love, but obviously they're not playing right now.
No.
So it seems like there's like a sweet spot.
They've been off for a couple months and about 2.5 quarters.
Yeah, they started their vacation a little early.
A little early. Arthur Blank coming down the stairs, waiting on the sideline.
Yeah, Arthur Blank is the Firmino.
More like Arthur Blank stared. It's just like, how did this happen?
You stepped on my great joke.
Oh, geez, I'm sorry.
I said like that Arthur Blank is the Roberto Firmino of.
That's what we were supposed to talk about.
That's right. That's
God what damn it! I remember now.
So
there's nothing more embarrassing than that. We'll talk about that
anyway. Yeah, the Lallana miss. Hashtag Lallana miss.
Hashtag RIP for me now.
So Atlanta, they had an advantage. I believe it was in the 11th or 12th minute that the fire went down to 10 men. So obviously you're going to have a nightmare of a game.
Yeah.
If that happens. So
dual early. Nightmare too, because of who you're playing against. You know, you have a club that's probably going to be able to score on you anyway. But I was hoping that red card wouldn't happen because I wanted to see, you know, this was their biggest test so far. You know?
Yeah. What did you think of that red? Because that was not Brandon Vincent. I forget who it was. Joseph Martinez, obviously a monster, and no, everyone's afraid.
It's hard to handle him.
He's a stocky little man that can get by anybody. He's strong. And I didn't agree with the red. I mean, it clearly seemed like at least a yellow. And yes.
You didn't think he was the last.
It was Johan Kapelhoff.
Yeah.
So he.
I think it was so close.
I mean, to say it was the last defender.
He was inside the box, but he was to the right, to the left of the goal.
No, he was outside the box. It wasn't a
penalty. It was outside the box?
It wasn't a penalty. No. It was outside the box, but he got a red because it was the last defender and prevented him from obvious goal-scoring opportunity. That's the rule.
It wasn't an obvious goal scorer.
Yeah, it was so far away from the goal that it seemed just a little hard. I mean, it didn't seem very harsh.
You say that, and at the same time, you saw the goal Joseph Martinez scored towards the end of the match in that impossible angle, right? Yeah. So you think that wasn't an obvious goal-scoring opportunity? Every time he has the ball, it's an obvious goal-scoring opportunity.
Yeah.
What are you talking about?
He could be in his half. And
Dude's at home, and he gets the ball, and everyone's like, don't touch him. It's an obvious goal-scoring opportunity.
But look, it is what it is. Obviously, that's a tough card to receive for Chicago. And look,
and the fact that it was so early, I mean, that just breaks your heart. Because I wanted to see this match at full squad, you know, full strength. Because
yeah.
I think Chicago could have given him a run for their money.
Yeah, it's a bad call. I can understand. I can't even understand to the letter of the law that you give him a red. It was too far away. It was too far away to give him a red. I understand.
I disagree. I think it was.
I understand the final defender. But it was too far away to say this was the obvious goal scoring opportunity, and he had to.
But that's also
up.
The judgment of the official.
Exactly, you know? And maybe I would say it's like I'm 60-40, like 60% he should. It's a yellow to 40% red. That's how close right. I was. I don't think it was 50-50.
To me, I could see it being a 50-50, and I give the credit. I give all the whatever that's called. I let the official make the choice.
Okay,
if the ref says that's a red. You're seeing red,
yeah,
buddy.
This is an Arsenal-Tottenham match. I'm sure you'd be that cordial.
Oh, I'd be livid. I'd be livid before the match. I'd be livid during. My blood pressure would be all the way up.
But Atlanta looked amazing. Once, obviously, they were up a man, they...
Injuries are the only... That's the only club that could stop them. It's the injury club. That's it.
Injury FC.
Yeah. Injury United.
Talented club.
Sporting injuries. There you go.
Sporting. Yeah, that's right. They were... They just look good. And Joseph Almirón to Martinez. This is going to be the Stockton to Malone of the MLS. Almirón is constantly looking at where's this guy going to be, because when I get the ball to him, he's going to do something incredible.
If the ball touches my foot, it's immediately going to Martinez. And you know, all credit to Boca Negra. My God, did that dude create a hell of a club.
Yeah.
He's got one squad, man. It's just a beast squad. And if you're living in Atlanta and you haven't gone to see them play live, you've mm-hmm. made a mistake.
Yeah. Just go to the Bobby Dodd Trap House and go see them play, because
that would be hilarious. Trap out Bobby Dodd Stadium. Are they coming to New York?
They are. They are. They are playing here. So that's going to be exciting.
Oh, I can't wait. I got to see if I'm available for that one. I hope I'm here for that, because that's just going to be exciting to watch.
So
hopefully we don't lose terribly.
We recorded an episode of FIFA News and we talked about Joseph Martinez a little bit, but like you did mention that goal at the impossible angle, which is so, so impressive. And I know people are like, oh, they were down to 10 men, but it doesn't really make it that much easier, you know? Like Minnesota United were down to 10 men against against Colorado,
yeah,
and did not allow a goal. And so it's not you know, a lot of times when people are down to when teams are down to 10 men, they park the bus, and you see this in the Premier League a lot. It's very difficult to score,
yeah,
on some teams when they're down to 10 men.
Yeah, I mean, they just cut off all the passing angles. Your club is all passing just around them, yeah, as opposed to through them. It's very difficult, you know?
Yeah, so they're not...
And there's some clubs that are great at it, like, you know, Burnley and West Brom. Yeah. You know, there's some clubs that really, really, that's their tactic.
Yeah, they defend tougher than, you know, any of the other clubs, because that's how they stay. That's how they stay in the Premier League.
It's the opposite of total football. It's like total football is like you want to have the ball at all times and frustrate the opposing team by not letting them have possession. You're like, nah, have as much possession as you want. You're never going to score on us.
Exactly. So props to Josef Martínez and how terrifying of a human being he was.
Oh my God.
After every goal, because we're picking up on this goal celebration that he does.
Yeah, he runs right up basically to the end line and just stares.
And it's
like a statue. He's a statue.
Exactly.
Of a man who could kill you.
He's literally striking fear into his enemies. Yeah. But it's interesting because he's doing it at Bobby Dodd Stadium, so everybody's very happy that he just scored.
They're freaking out. He's just like, what the hell did you say to me? You know?
He just never lets go of like that killer instinct. That's what it just seems like.
That's actually perfectly put, because he does have that. And that's another reason why I thought that red card was justified. He's just, wherever he is, he's a threat to score. Doesn't matter the angle. It doesn't matter how many people are in front of him. It doesn't matter how many people are trying to drag him down.
He is obviously he's the leading goal scorer in the MLS. So already there's been a lot of stories of, you know, best candidate for the Golden Boot? I mean, and
we're talking about that, what, three matches into the season? It's ridiculous.
But he's scoring that much. And Atlanta looks like they're, especially in this last match, I mean, they clearly look like, you know, they look like a completely well-rounded team.
Yeah, no, they look like monsters. And it's one of those things where, like, you watch them and you're like, I want to see them live, but I don't want to see them play my favorite club because they're going to beat them. They're going to beat my team to a pulp, you know?
It's scary what Tata Martino has created.
But like I said, I thought that his tactics would be perfect in this league, because it's going to showcase that if you press hard, and it's the same thing Jesse Marsh has gotten a lot of credit for, if you press hard, I think you sort of show the weaknesses of a lot of these MLS clubs, that they don't focus a lot on passing quickly. So they don't have anywhere to go, you know? So if you press hard and press fast, and you need to be athletic enough and young enough to do it, of course. But if you press hard and fast, you're going to give the person who just received the ball not a lot of time to make a decision. And I think you could start to take advantage of that. And that's exactly what Atlanta's doing.
Yeah. They're so good that it's like, it makes me uncomfortable.
Yeah. And Tata Martino comes from the same coaching tree.
Okay. Yeah. We heard. Yeah.
It's Jorge. Sampaoli. Have I said his name enough? At this point, I'll hire a plane with a banner that says Wenger out, Sampaoli in.
So let's talk about the other expansion side that finally.
Yeah, Minnesota finally
got a point.
It's only 1 point, but it's a point.
But it's a big deal.
It's a starting point.
When you get your first point, you hang it up on the wall.
Everybody remembers their first one, you know? It was awkward. It was uncomfortable. And it didn't last as long as you wanted it to. But let me tell you something. You'll remember it forever.
Exactly. And
may this be the beginning of many, many more points for you.
And so they were... They, you know what? I was proud to, because 2 weeks ago we were saying they probably don't even belong in the MLS.
Yeah, we were saying that for sure. I've said that many a times. They don't belong here.
But this match, I think that finally kind of got to them and sort of kicked them in their butt a little bit. And they were playing against a good keeper in Tim Howard.
Yeah, Tim Howard was also standing on his head. And they're a good club. I know they're not the best right now, and they're not the most prepared to score. You know, Andy Winter said it on the podcast. If they can light up, you know, if Colorado's going to let you up for six. You played very badly. You know, Colorado's not necessarily built, but they got Baji and they got some great pieces. Hairston looks great. You know, they've got some pieces. So to beat them, or at least to draw with them, that's a big one.
Yeah, they look, they made Baji did score off of another just dumb defensive error.
They got a lot of them.
You know, we were talking to Paul Tenorio just about Minnesota's back line, and they're just more problems. Just
yeah, but they made changes. They did make changes, and they did look better.
Yeah, but they still gave up. I mean, they gave up that goal. They gave that one away.
They're not perfect.
I don't expect them to be.
Yeah.
But I was happy with, what is it, Christian Ramirez.
Yeah, right? He got a start.
He got a start, and he got a great header, and he was definitely attack-minded. I think Colorado underestimated them a little bit just because they saw how they've been playing.
And that is the benefit to them, is that some of these clubs are going to come in a little bit more relaxed.
Yeah.
You know, maybe not training as hard because, oh, it's just Minnesota. That's an easy 3 points.
Yeah. So I was, because that was the big concern, because you don't want to have any team in the MLS that is like, oh, this is going to be a waste of a fixture. Why do I even
want to watch? Yeah, no, you don't want that at all.
Watch this one. So, good on them. Heath got his first point, and Ramirez got...
keeps his job. Heath,
keeps his job. You know? 1 point at a time.
What you thought would never happen is actually happening. He's keeping his job.
Exactly. So, we're going to talk about some other games.
Yeah. We got some other stuff. Why don't we do this? It's been a long segment so far. Why don't we take a break?
Yeah.
Give these guys a chance to listen to us, peddle some stuff.
That's
right. And
then
we'll be right back after this. Hey, everybody. Thank you for listening to the podcast. Quick break here. I just want to tell you a little bit about On The Volley Apparel. You've heard it so many times. Some of you actually went out and bought some of the gear. It's absolutely incredible. Once again, my favorite hoodie I've ever had in my entire life.
Great gear. They make great stuff.
Absolutely. Big fan of the podcast as well.
Yeah, it's they make soccer-inspired clothing. Look, you've heard us talk about it before. You've seen us wearing some of the clothing on our videos.
Yeah, we're always wearing it on the videos.
It's great stuff. It's urban inspired. It is hip hop.
It's a little hood. It's a little soccer, but it's all dope. Super high quality, very comfortable, and not very expensive. And it's even less expensive because you listen to us.
Exactly. So if you use the promo code Cooligans, you'll receive 30% off. That's
incredible.
That's a hot deal.
Come on now.
Hot deal. So make sure you use the promo code Cooligans. Look, they right before the MLS season, there's a lot of new apparel, you know, coming out.
Sure.
So you can check it out there.
And they got a whole bunch of new designs and stuff coming out. And again, get their hoodies, get their sweatshirts. They're incredibly comfortable. They got cool t-shirts. They got like 3/4 length sleeves. They even got stuff for the ladies.
They have stuff for actual gameplay.
Yeah, you know, absolutely. So listen, if you didn't get something for your girl on Valentine's Day, hustle up, get something. You get yourself 30% off. Make her feel a little better at the end of the week when you get that shipment. And look what I got you. It's On The Volley. And they're like, yo, isn't this the same thing Alexis and Christian wear? And then you watching them when I'm not around? And then you can have an argument because how much the girl loves us.
You sort that out, right? Yeah. Because, I mean, obviously, we're not trying to ruin any relationship.
No, it's not
or marriage.
Our fault.
It's not our fault.
We're too pretty.
But make sure, go to onthevalleyapparel.com, onthevalleyapparel.com, and use the promo code Cooligans, and you'll get 30% off. So
30% off.
It's a great deal. So do that right now.
Yeah, baby, we're back.
Welcome back, guys. Quick shout out to Footy Mob.
Oh, God. Yeah, guys, if you're Atlanta United fans, join Footy Mob. That's a great, sort of hip hop
inspired supporters group.
Yeah. It's a great way to put it. Yeah. And, it's pretty dope. They just sent us these cool scarves, and we absolutely love those guys. They tweet at us. We tweet at them. We retweet. They retweet. They're absolutely awesome. And really excited to get a chance to meet them. Hopefully they come up to New York.
That's right. When Atlanta plays up here.
I'll actually be flying in that day back from Atlanta. So I doubt I'm going to see any of the team. I'm sure they're going to be here already. But I'm going to be flying in that day. So hopefully I get back in time to go to that match.
That's right. You don't want to miss that one.
No, I'm sure my wife's going to be like, oh, my God, you're home. I miss you. I'll be like, yeah, okay. Yeah. I'm going to go to Osaka.
Literally like arriving from the airport, like not even coming back home.
Yeah, babe, can you drop me off at the airport?
But yeah, thank you, Footy Mob, for the scarves.
Absolutely.
Gorgeous. Thank you so much. That was such a nice thing to do.
Yeah, man, it was absolutely dope. And yeah, they're not the only club playing in MLS. They got some other ones. Portland's also been playing really, really well.
Portland has. They've won all their matches. They're what, three? Yeah, they're 3-for-3. They got 9 points.
And all their highlights look exactly the same. I mean, how many times can Adi?
Adi just not, just kind of constantly do a fake shot.
Just fake out a keeper. How many times a keeper's going to keep coming out on this guy?
It looks like he's been like, he seems stronger. I don't know if he seems, he's definitely a big guy, but he just seems like he's like gotten stronger, and like people are not, he's pushing people around.
I think he's learned like how to score for his size. Does that make sense?
Sure.
He's figured out how he has to play. Because I think in years past, and maybe it was just me who, you know, casually watches Portland. I don't watch them, you know, with the intensity and fervor that other fans do. Seems to me like he wasn't necessarily trying to be finesse, but he was trying to be more of a poacher, trying to get himself maybe more of a center forward in the sense that, oh, you know, back to the goal, push against the, you know, the back line, kind of push a lot of pressure. This year, he seems to be receiving the ball and turning around more.
Yeah, he...
Or he's running into spaces more.
He's becoming a Lukaku.
I was about to say the exact
Lukaku
same thing.
Lukaku kind of guy, man. It's a...
Lil Kaku.
It's cool. It's cool to see because I think, you know, they obviously Portland opened the season playing against Minnesota. And I think the confidence right. you build from that first game, you're
I
like,
I mean, that
you just,
it's like losing your virginity to a porn star. You know what I mean? You're just like, I'm the greatest ever. Like, are you kidding me?
Look at the kind of girls I get.
First of all, and look at what they let me do. Anything I want.
So, yeah, Adi obviously has a lot of confidence now, and wow. I mean, even, look, this game was, Houston's not, is not, you know, an easy side to go up against.
Houston's not this year, at least.
Houston's been playing well.
And defensively, they're very strong.
Exactly. So, I mean, they have, obviously, Eric Kubo Torres. And
big old head.
Ramel Kyoto, who's you got them new Kyotos?
Yeah, oh yeah, we do actually, right in the back.
New size template,
actually, right up front.
But no, you know, there was obviously this was a weird game because it started off very strange because both the first two goals were penalties both for handballs. It almost felt the second handball initially. I thought like, oh, the ref is like making up for the first call because the first handball was DeMarcus Beasley. It was a cross, I believe, from Diego Chara, and Beasley turned around, but his arm, you know, he raised his arms a little bit to sort of protect himself, but he got unlucky and it hit his arm.
Yeah, and the balls took one of those bounces that clearly hit an arm. You know what I mean? So it's correct. Hard.
Yeah, it like ricocheted down.
Yeah, like every fan's like, that was an arm. You know, yeah.
So you know, and even I would say it was in a natural position to like protect yourself from someone kicking something at you.
Yeah.
But it was unlucky and it hit his arm.
Yeah. In soccer, there's no, the only natural position is like river dancing, arms up against your sides.
Exactly. So to get a ball hit directly at your face.
Yeah. 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 So just take it on the face like that porn star did. I'm amazing.
So the next goal came from, you know, obviously Diego Valeri buried that penalty. And then the next goal came after it was a free kick.
Yeah.
And Diego Chara kind of does the exact same thing, but he's taking that one.
He was throwing bows.
He was throwing bows, but that one was definitely going to his face.
Yeah.
He was going to get a blast.
Yeah. He was going to lose a cornrow.
You know? Yeah, it would have been. That's a dangerous.
Can't do that.
What am I gonna do, Mama? I lost my cornrow.
Yeah, he's got it. He runs to the sideline, but there's a stoop and someone braiding his hair to fix it. Where'd they get the stoop from?
Yeah, is that loud? Is it?
Yeah, I mean, that's impressive.
Yeah, that's interesting. In Portland, they actually don't have a bench for the bench players. They just have a stoop.
Just stoop. Timber Joey has to make it every match out of wood.
So that'd be amazing.
Diego Chara kind of throws his elbow up in the air, but again, it was the elbow or his face for sure.
Exactly. So that's like the best kind of option at that point. And think, there's nothing you can do at that point. Your body, your brain is like, I gotta stop this.
Yeah, stop that thing that's propelling its way to your face.
Exactly.
For sure.
So and he clearly elbowed the ball away. And a lot, it happened so quickly that even the fans thought like, oh, they just stopped the shot or the wall.
Yeah.
The wall got in the way.
Yeah, it was out. And it's, you know, credit to the official who saw that, because I didn't see it until they slow-mo'd it. So.
Exactly. So yeah. then Kubo Torres buries that penalty. And now we have a 1-1 game. And then Houston goes up 2-1 after a great pass from Elise. One of the
most perfect passes I've seen since the RJ
absolutely
pass.
Perfect pass, and the first touch from Romel Kyoto.
Oh my God!
Just first touch on he's on the left post. He's on his left. Yeah, receives the ball on his left foot.
Yeah,
and then kind of just
leaves it there.
Leaves
for
it
his
there.
Right foot.
Leaves it there, and
he opens up his hips
as his body is going continuously to the left. He opens up his hips and hits it to the far post on the right.
Beautiful, beautiful.
Gleason completely did not expect that.
No, and
that
it was
shot.
The only place to kick it to score.
Yeah,
and he did it. And it, I mean, the pass was pinpoint. The shot was incredible. And Kyoto, I mean, Kyoto's got an incredible amount of talent.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, I remember last season at the end of the season that Kim Minotas.
I
was like, this kid's going to be a monster. Yo, he's going to start next year and they're going to score. They finally found a guy to score. He's not getting any burn at all, because you got Kyoto, who's just a beast, and Torres finally figured out how to score.
Yeah, I mean, it seems like that front three is a big threat.
For sure.
Houston looked like a completely different team. We talked about it, 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
And so... Portland.
Some of this parody is starting to really wipe away, man. We got some like monster clubs and some people that are just like hanging on.
Portland, look, props to them. They came back because Valeri header, Valencia to Valeri, to Val. This was Valeri again. We talked about it in the first game. It was his first header in MLS ever.
Yeah.
He has about like 30-some odd goals.
Right. And this was the first time he used his head.
First time he used his head. And he already has two.
Yeah.
In 3 weeks.
Yeah.
So it's kind of wild.
Old dog learning new tricks.
It seems like, Caleb Porter has the team playing a little, or has Valeri playing maybe a little bit more up front, because I feel like we never really saw Valeri, when a winger had the ball.
Right.
We never really saw Valeri like up front trying to head it. That's Adi's like zone.
Yeah, but now that they push Nagby further off to the wing, right? Or at least further off to the side.
Mm-hmm.
And you got Sebastian Blanco now,
yeah,
who, you know, Valeri really trusts. I feel like Valeri is given more of an opportunity where he can make those runs now.
Yeah,
trusts that service is going to come in.
It's interesting. He almost doesn't. Nagby's improved, and Blanco and David Guzman, that there isn't that much pressure on Valeri to sort of control the game.
Yeah. He doesn't have to be the fulcrum, they call him
Maestro, right? And he's Portland's Pirlo.
Yeah.
But Nagby's almost becoming that guy. Or
it seems like everyone's sharing that load this season.
Yeah. Yeah, people can kind of move around a little bit.
Sharing
more.
The load, just like that porn star. You know, I feel bad that someone messaged us and said that it's him and his son's favorite podcast. His 12-year-old son. And I was like, oh, we'll stop cursing as much. He's like, nah, don't worry about it.
Well, technically, you haven't even swore once.
Yeah, no, I
mean, you've been incredibly graphic, but.
Oh, boy, if you're listening. Thank you for continuing to listen. And I'm sure you won't be sharing it with the other PTA parents.
But yeah, obviously, Portland ended up winning this 4-2. And the other goal that was pretty incredible, it was just like kind of a scrum, and Nagby, that slide tackle pass. I mean, the wherewithal to even sort of
the fact that he knew that, like, you watched it and you thought maybe it was a mistake, or like he was like, hey, maybe this will work. No, he did that on purpose.
Yeah.
He got the ball sort of turning in an odd way, and he knew the guy who was behind him was making a run.
Guzman.
So he literally did almost like a spinning, like, you know, the move like in every 80s karate movie that you would do the kick and the guy would jump over it, like that spinning, like, trip you up type kick.
I mean, he looked like, oh my God, now I hate when this happens. I'm blanking out. The Curly from the Larry Moe and Curly.
Oh, whoop, 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 whoop.
Yeah, like, that's sort of why
Three Stooges.
The Three Stooges. Yeah. Why did I forget that? He sort of kind of did that. He was like, whoop, 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 and he spun on the ground to make a perfect pass. Yeah, it just seems like Nagy seems just this season seems to be like absolutely on point.
Oh yeah, no, he I don't know, maybe it was going to the left, or maybe it's the fact that it's just this year and he understands that there's a lot riding on it, you know, national team and whatnot.
I think well, that and also like Seattle winning, I think to Portland, that's like, well, we're gonna have a killer season.
Yeah, we got to get that second star on our above our crest.
Yeah, because we have to be like one above them always.
Yeah, yeah, forever. And that's it's. I mean, good. You know, that's great. That's what you want to see. You want to see that that fever pitch to want to win. And you know, looking at Nagy, you're right, dude. He's like re-inspired this year. So he's also a little bit stronger too.
The team is it's slightly different. Where to the point where you would think like, oh, this might affect like it just might affect the team negatively. Or affect some of the chemistry, but no, they've been great. And also, you know, shout out to Igor Mortis, who Igor Mortis 13, who
the official tattooist
of tattoo Portland. Artist
of no of our of Cooligans.
Of the Cooligans, the Cooligans,
he's
tattoo,
the Cooligans tattoo artist.
But I've been talking to him a lot about Rodney Wallace. Rodney Wallace was in Portland, obviously plays for NYCFC now. And watching, you know, we went to the NYCFC game, watching Rodney Wallace. He's already scored two goals for
exactly
NYCFC, and. My first question was like, why the hell would they let him go? He's just too good. I mean,
yeah, he's incredible.
He has an incredible motor, and he it already seems like he's been playing with Villa and Pirlo for years.
He's great. He tracks back like a monster, which you love.
You know, Igor was mentioning like that it's sad to see him go because he was such a good player. You know, his nickname is the Warrior, right?
Yeah.
Or Rodwall, right?
Yeah. So or Milkman. No, that's Sean Johnson.
That's Sean Johnson, right?
A terrible nickname.
But it seems like what Rodney Wallace came from, it seems like just the foundation, the club, just Portland has like just their head screwed on right. I mean, Kelly Porter's doing a great job because, I mean,
yeah,
even the people who leave do very well.
But, you know, as with Portland every year, let's see if they can sustain this, you know, throughout the playoffs and on the run to the playoffs, you know?
I mean, look, compared to last season, I mean, they had an awful season last year. They didn't win a road game.
Yeah.
They were horrendous. So this is an incredible start. This is they can't be anything but happy.
Yeah, this is very typical of MLS, though. You know, the worst team all of a sudden is great. Look at Houston is great. Look
yeah.
At, so Minnesota is going to win it all next year. Minnesota might go invincible next season.
All right. So let's talk about one final game that was the nationally televised game this weekend. Seattle against the Red Bulls. And this was Seattle's home opener. They had the championship trophy introduction to all the supporters. This was cool.
All the Red Bull fans listening are like, what's that?
Oh my goodness.
What's that about?
This was...
Didn't you feel like we should have snuck on the pitch for that too? You know what I mean? We should have been there.
We should have been. I mean, we were at the Cup celebration.
Right,
we were
there when you won it.
Yeah, I mean, we might as well.
Come on, you should have invited us.
So this was...
Come on, Drew Carey.
Yeah.
Get on the phone, buddy.
this was pretty cool. I mean, they obviously the Seattle fans were very appreciative of this. There was a lot of beef between the Timbers fans, the Timber supporters, and Sounders supporters about the TIFO. TIFO, they felt it seemed a little like our TIFO was better.
Yeah, like, yeah. It was like, whatever. Yeah, Bob Ross, we get it.
Yeah. It was a TIFO said champions had a, you know, a silhouette of fans like holding the trophy or, you know, whatever the players, whatever. I mean, it just seems like a, I mean, look, the Portland.
It's petty,
especially since the Portland Timbers, you know, TIFO are they're goddamn. Every single one was doing graphic design in the womb.
Yeah,
you know,
they're all monsters. They actually went to college for TIFO creation. I didn't know they had that.
It is a major at the University of Phoenix.
I'll go online.
But a good game. I mean, it's Seattle. Obviously, they lost their first match. I think drew their second, and they got their win in front of the home fans on like championship night or whatever.
Versus a tough club.
Yeah, Red Bulls have been playing well. They won their first two games.
I think the Red Bulls came out. I think the big mistake they made was to decide to not even cover Jovan Jones.
So what came from this game was probably one of the greatest clips or gifs we're ever gonna see in soccer. Just a Meg. We had a Jovan Jones nutmeg to pass to Nico Lodero to just the perfect chip cross to Jordan Morris and just unmarked. Yeah. It was just a perfect play.
That sequence was just incredible, and it was funny. Like, you know, I forgot who was covering Jovan Jones, but yeah, that's what you do. You
Sal Zizzo.
Zizzo.
We're not going to let him forget that.
Zizzo. But you bring him to the end line, right? Like, there's nowhere to go.
Yeah.
Right. You use that out of bounds area as like another defender, right?
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, the ball's between your feet, and you're like, "Hey, where did Jovan go?" You turn around, and you're just watching J-Mo.
Yeah.
J-Mo smooth.
Yeah, we were at the MLS Cup. We saw Jovan Jones. We saw Jovan Jones training. I mean, we saw how how he was actually. I think they were worried he might be injured.
Yeah.
So he didn't even like give it his all, and he was still
great,
incredibly great. I mean, he was fast and everything. But that play. It's going to be gifed for life, you know? When you think of Jovan Jones, you don't really think of a guy that will necessarily do that. He's a defender.
Yeah, he's a defender, but the guy's got skill.
He does have skill. I mean, and
he's one of those defenders, and it reminds me a lot like a DeAndre Yedlin, who also, from Seattle.
But
yeah, he's got skill in that final third. You kind of want him up there.
You know, Jovan Jones seems to have the freedom of movement, because I mean, usually both wingbacks are not like up
yeah,
front
yeah,
that
full
much
flight.
But he's like, you might think he's a forward at times. You don't know where he kind of is at times.
And he's like a secondary a winger. He's, you know, being a wingback, but their midfielders are also really great. So it just overloads a defending, defending squad in their own half.
Yeah. So, I mean, the news from the Red Bull side, which was exciting, is Bradley Rod Phillips got his 70th goal.
For the third fastest to ever do that.
Yeah. So, and great header.
Yeah.
I would say for the most part, I expected the Red Bulls kind of win this match. Seattle hadn't looked great.
Yeah. I agree with you.
But I think the energy from, to lose that match would have probably hurt those fans, especially after, celebrating the MLS Cup, the joy, how happy everybody was.
Right. They didn't put a damper on the day at all. That was a nice win for Seattle.
Yeah. So, yeah, this was a good game. I mean, just overall, you hope that the nationally televised games are just like...
Right. They're fun. And exciting.
That they're fun. And this
they
one...
make us look good.
This one was pretty chippy.
Yeah.
You know, the... I feel like I
Ozzy Alonso again, almost getting it started.
Yeah. She's always fun. Yeah. Every time I see him, I think of you. That's like,
yeah. Me too. And how about Dempsey taking the dude out away from the ball?
Yeah. That was he got a yellow for that.
Yeah. That was pretty dope.
I didn't see why. I think he was retaliating for something.
Maybe. Yeah. I don't know what he retaliated for, but he just straight shoulder tackled the dude. He just took the dude out. He just bumped into him hard with his shoulder. And pretending he was just running along, it was great. And then when he got whistled for it, he didn't even turn and look at the official. He was like, kept mouthing off at the defender.
Oh yeah. He didn't do a Breck Shea.
No. Jesus. Fuck you. Are you sure? Did you really say that? Yeah, I did. Oh, why are you giving me a red card?
And I banged your mother. He went a little too far.
Your wife is like, God, your mom's such a bitch. What? No, I did call you mom a bitch. No, I mean, I didn't.
If you don't know what we're talking about, Vancouver played against Toronto.
Yeah.
And
Vancouver, who's not playing great with all 11 men.
This is their second red card in three games.
Yeah.
And Breck Shea fouled the player. It was a clear foul.
Yellow,
way too aggressive.
Simple. But then he goes, oh, fuck you.
And then the ref was like, what did you just say to me?
Did you just say that?
And he's like,
and he goes, yes, I did. And gets a red.
Which is that? It seems like the FU is worse than the yes, I did.
No, the yes, I did is like, no, I'm going to fully own this.
Yeah.
If you walk away and go, man, I was upset, or just like, hey, blah, 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 maybe. But I don't know. Part of me like loves that,
Really?
Yeah.
I mean, you got him sent off. You love that?
Oh, I can't get enough of it. I don't know why. I'm like, yeah, that's the kind of guy I want.
It is.
Squad.
Look, it's if you're not from New York, you maybe don't know this word, but it was Mad Gully.
Yeah, yeah, it was Mad Gully. That's Mad Gully. Right. It was OG.
It's not Fern Gully.
No.
It's Mad Gully.
Mad Gully.
Gully, if you don't know what it is, Gully is just like, well, how would you describe it? Just like keeping it 100.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. It's old 100. It's just, he's mad real. He's trill.
And that,
true and real.
I'm, you know, Dave Chappelle had that great sketch when keeping it real goes wrong. And this was a clear moment.
Yeah.
Because you got two goals scored on right after that.
So. If you youngins are listening, that fan who told us he loves us and listens to us with his son. Hey, son, if you don't know what the Chappelle Show is, maybe I'm ruining you even further. But just that one sketch, Dad, show it to him. It's great.
It's a good sketch.
The one dude at the office, he's like, "What'd you just call me?" And he yells Wu-Tang. It's just the greatest. It's so funny.
So fun week.
I agree. This was, long for a segment. Things are beginning a little different next week. I'm going to be on the road a little bit, so I'm going to be calling in part of it.
That's right. And there's also an international break. So
have an international interview.
And we have an international interview next week. So it's going to be fun. So, there's only a couple MLS teams playing. We have there's three matches, six teams. So we'll cover those a little bit. And the U.S. U.S. is playing.
We need to take those 3 points.
That's right. U.S. is playing Honduras.
Which, by the way, Honduras not in FIFA. Did you know that?
Yeah.
We just found out.
And also, Ramel Quiodo, Honduran.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, what's up, FIFA 17?
Let's hope he's not playing.
Not playing, right? That'd be nice. It's Houston. I think Houston is not playing this weekend. So,
oh, boy.
Their players, whoever has international duty, they will be sent off. So, great week, and it's going to be a fun one next week as well.
Absolutely.
Alexis, you're going to be in Vegas, right?
I'm going to be in Vegas and then Los Angeles. So if you guys are in L.A., hit me up. We'd love to meet up with you guys. I got some pretty cool. We're going to meet the guys from Kicks to the Pitch, or I'm going to meet the guys from Comedy in English, which hosts like a really cool, all youth, men's national team youth system podcast. So it's going to be dope, man. I'm really looking forward to that.
I don't know what this, you're going to be just talking about little boys. I don't know what kind of podcast.
I do that anyway. It's just a microphone. I'm only kidding. All right. The podcast is all about the academy setup, and it's something that, you know, I'm really interested in. I'd love to hear like from the front lines, what's happening over there. And it's just going to be dope. Hopefully I get to meet Elvis from On the Volley. So Elvis, if you're listening, I'm going to shoot you a message with the dates I'm out there. I would love to get a chance to meet up with you. I'm only there for 4 days, but I'm going to try to pack in as much as I possibly can.
Exactly.
And I'm doing a bunch of shows. If you guys want to come see me perform, let me know.
Yes.
Hook you guys up.
Yes. He's going to be doing some stand-up in Los Angeles. So
It's all on my calendar on alexisguerreros.com if you are in LA. But let me know. I hook you guys up with free tickets. I think most of the shows are free anyway.
Okay, cool. Well, so that's even nicer of you to give him free tickets to a free show.
That's what I do for Illuminati party anyway.
He's like, yo, bro, I'm going to hook you up.
You know what I got for you? Entrance for free to something that's already free, and we need people in it.
All right, everybody. So thank you so much for listening again. As we always say, please subscribe to the podcast and also review it. We would love it. Nice iTunes review. It helps us.
Yeah, Tropical Sound, shout us a nice review. Hilarious.
We've been getting some really lovely iTunes reviews. If you can take 2 minutes out of your day and leave a nice iTunes review, we would absolutely love you for it.
Yeah, hit that 5 stars and then leave a nice review. That would be absolutely awesome. And while you're at it, while you're on the internet and on the computer, go to our YouTube channel, youtube.com/soccercooligans. Hit the subscribe button. That would be absolutely amazing. And then while you're at that, just might as well share it with all your friends.
Yeah, every single
Build one. An email list. Build an email list of all your friends and email them that we're great.
Exactly. Yeah. Also, just work for us and be...
Yeah, be our assistant. If you want to be the Cooligans assistant.
You want to be a Cooligans ambassador.
Yes.
We have a program.
Yeah, it's an affiliate program.
It's $700 to join.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah. You pay us. But trust me, the benefits.
The benefits.
Clearly, I went.
And also, if it's obviously it's a pyramid scheme, so if you tell four of your friends, you will get $3 for every friend.
Yeah, we'll shoot you a small percentage of that money.
You become a Cooligans ambassador, and the duties are to just talk about Cooligans positively everywhere you go.
Everywhere you go.
On the internet, on the phone. To your parents.
And just tell them who we are. I'm Alexis Guerreros.
And I'm Christian Polanco.
And together, what are we?
The Cooligans!